Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. We're getting ready to take you into a message entitled God's Commandments and God's Laws. Do you not know God's commandments and God's laws? They are still intact, even in the New Testament, and we are not under the old covenant. I'm going to go to the Word of God and prove to you today that when God wrote with his finger on stone, that he wrote it again in our hearts and in our minds in the New Testament, and God's commandments and God's laws are still intact, even in the New Covenant. Let's go to the Word of God and let me prove this by Scripture. God bless you.
Talking about the righteous, huh? The law of his God is in his heart. Now, in the New Testament, remember when the Bible said he'll write his laws upon your heart? In the New Testament, that sounds like a New Testament man. And keep in mind that David was a prophet. And many times when he was speaking, he was prophesied. And he was talking about the righteous. And he said the law of his God is in his heart. So we know in the New Testament that God promised to put his laws in our hearts, right? Okay, so that is a good one. Remember a story when the young rich ruler had came to Jesus, and he said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, Jesus was giving this man counsel, and he was telling him about the commandments. And he said, well, and then the guy said, "Well, I've kept these from my youth up." And he said, "What lack I?" So he felt the lack in his heart. And really and truly, he broke the first one. The first one is love God more than anything and anybody. He loved his money. So he really wasn't keeping them. But my point is, why did Jesus counsel him in keeping these laws in his heart? Okay. Now, don't we want to know the Bible? Everything in the Word of God, we just want to know it. Okay. Here's one that struck me, Revelation 14 and 12. And remember, we had studied on the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." These saints kept the faith of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. Now, I need to understand that from a New Testament point of view. Okay, we want to understand that from a New Testament point of view. Because one thing we know is in here. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to be challenged at some point. It is in here. So we want to look at it. Now, let me do it this way. I want to go over these commandments, and I'm going to skip one because we're going to come back and we're going to look at what the Bible say about the Sabbath day. Because we know that in the New Testament, we don't keep a day, right? We got enough sense to know that. But how will we be able to reconcile this in the New Testament? So I'm going to skip over that, but I'm going to just read the other ones first, okay? Now, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, let me ask this question. Let's look at it from this point of view. Okay. In the New Testament, do you think God wants you to have another God before him? So that's just a given, right? So we're going to look at it from this point of view, okay? So if he was adamant about that in the Old Testament, why would he not? Okay, why, since we're under the New Testament, it's okay to have another God before him? You see? We just need to make some biblical, spiritual sense out of this, because the body of Christ, for the most part, has complicated a lot of things, and God is trying to simplify things for us now. And we're going to simplify this. We are not under law, the law of the old covenant, but we're going to simplify this. All right, now we all agree. Anybody disagree? We know that in the old covenant, God didn't want no other gods before him, and we know even in the new covenant, God still don't want you to have no other god before him. Okay, what about this one? Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven images or likenesses. Do you think in the New Testament under grace, is it okay to have a graven image? Okay, go ahead.
When you say graven image, it could be also two certain things that we cherish. Like your cars, your money, your home.
It could be anything. Anything you can make an image out of, you know, an image, and you could worship that image. Nebuchadnezzar had an image that he tried to make everybody bow down and worship, you know. Okay, here's another one. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them. And in other words, don't serve no other gods. In the Old Testament, that was one of the commandments. Now, under grace in the New Covenant, do you think God wants you to bow down to another god? So far, so good. Christians just need to think sometime. All right, here's another one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In the old covenant, God didn't want you to take his name in vain. Under the new covenant, do we think God wants you to take his name in vain? No. Okay. I'm going to skip over to 7 because we're going to do something different with that. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you think God still wants you to honor your father and mother? And you can go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. It says, honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment. Hello. Commandment with promise. What I'm going to get you to see in a few minutes is that the commandments of God is different from the old. The commandment, or let me say it like this. The commandments of God is different from the law. And you remember when we did faith versus faith? We found there were two types of faith. Remember we did works versus works? Two types of works? Same thing with the commandments of God and the law. Same identical thing. And when I mention it to you guys, and I've been studying and I've been searching, and now I see where God is in all of this. Okay? But when we finish, you're going to have to separate the Ten Commandments from the law. You're just going to have to do that, because when people say law, we're not under law, they just lump this here in there. Okay? But when I'm going to show you some scriptures tonight that God separated them, even in the old covenant. And I'm going to show you how he separated them. He was so smart. Okay. Thou shalt not kill. Do you think it's right to kill in the New Testament? I'm telling you, the church, when God starts sharing his wisdom with the church, they're going to like, huh? Yeah. We just been hoodwinked on some things. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is it okay in the New Testament? Everybody, no. Okay. Why would we think these things would just be thrown away? Why? That devil mess all of us up if we don't catch him. Okay. Thou shalt not steal. Is it okay to steal? Okay. Bible says in Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more. That is rule is right there in the New Testament, and we missed it. Okay. All right. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie on nobody. Is that good in the New Testament to do? All right. Thou shalt not covet. God don't want you to covet. Don't be jealous and envious. Don't covet. The New Testament in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. All of these commandments of God sitting right there in the letters and the epistles in the New Testament. And we called it law. We call it the old covenant. Okay, now, there's only one I feel like really need to be biblically explained. Not explained the way, but biblically explained. And that's the one I'm going to light on for a few minutes, and that's remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Okay, let me show you. This one is in the New Testament. God is so wise. Go to Colossians. In your notes and in your mind, you're going to have to make your chart. And you're going to have to put the Ten Commandments, and then up under that, you're going to have to put the law. And you're going to have to separate them two. And if you don't, you're not going to understand the Bible. You're not going to understand that these things God said way back there is still inserted in all the letters. We've been reading it all the time. Okay? So, the commandments and the law. Okay? Or you can say the commandments of God are the old. I'm going to show you God separated them. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have to do that in your heart and in your mind. And believe it or not, this is why so many of these false doctrines are not accelerating in the church. Because we don't really understand this. All right, now, Colossians, I think it's chapter 2. I'm going to begin at verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. I was studying this Monday, I think it was. And after I finished studying, the broadcast went off and a lady called me. And she was so hungry for the word. So my wife and I, we invited her to just, because we was going to drop off a package to her. But we found out she was just getting off work and she was about to pass by our house anyway. So we invited her to come on in. My wife and I took and sat down with her, did about an hour or so Bible study with her. She's a Seventh-day Adventist. I'll tell you, God know how to set this stuff up. And I'm studying about the Sabbath day, Sister God. And so this lady came by the house, and that's one of the things I had to address. I was ready. Holy Ghost had me ready. But the lady, she was so interesting, and she received everything we had to say. She had a big old notepad, and she was looking for, she said, let me show you something. She showed me these pages of notes. She said, I've been listening to you for several months. And she said, when I'm on the road driving and you come on, I pull the car over and I'm right now. And every, she said, you talk so fast. And she right now in every scripture, she showed us all in her tablet. Nothing but scriptures. She said, I like my pastor, but they don't explain it like you. She said, I don't understand anything they say. She said, but everything you said make perfect sense to me. So we had a wonderful time, and then we addressed the Sabbath day, and she received the word. Amen? Because we got to get a complete thought here. All right, now look, Paul was telling these people at Colossae, he said, I'm not present with you, but I'm present in spirit, and I already know what's going on in the congregation. And so he's writing to the Colossians, and he's addressing some things that's trying to creep in the church. And so he wrote this book, and he's trying to get them to see, look, Christ, everything is in Christ. Everything. That's his whole theme here. But his whole thing was he's trying to show them that Christ was the sum total of everything, all truth in the Old Testament and New. Christ is the sum total of everything. And he said all the stuff that was back there was types and shadows of things to come. And if you stay caught up on the types and shadows, you're going to miss what was coming. And that's what the Jews did, and that's how they missed Christ. So it wasn't about the types and shadows. It was about what the types and shadows were saying in verse 3. Let me back up to verse 2. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery. Christ was a mystery. This salvation was a mystery. How God was going to let Christ die and then let Christ come back and live in a person. That was a mystery hid in God. Okay? And he said you need full assurance of the understanding and acknowledgement of the mystery. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now what he's talking about is every single thing. Remember when Jesus said, he said in John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures. He said, for in these scriptures, you think you have eternal life. And he said, these scriptures, all these scriptures testify about me. Everything in the Bible talks about me, Jesus said. And he said, you guys trying to kill me, saying you believe these scriptures. And all these scriptures point to me. And so that's what Paul is saying here in Colossians. He said, everything is in Christ. Now let's jump down to verse 16. And so this book will make sense to you. It says, now, let no man therefore judge you in meat. Because see, they had issues going on about you shouldn't eat that meat and you shouldn't eat meat off of the idols. And Paul's opinion was like this. It wasn't his opinion. It was the truth because he had gotten it from God. Paul was like this. Look, if you're hungry, bless the food and eat it. Okay, but if you got a brother who's sitting around you, seriously, that's what he was saying. If you got a brother sitting around you and your brother know that meat was offered to an idol, don't bless it and don't eat it for his sake. But it don't mean the meat is bad. That's just meat and an idol is nothing. That's what Paul was saying. But he said, if your brother gonna stomach, then don't eat it. That's what he was saying. So love is the greatest thing in this thing. But he said, now your brother ain't around, bless that meat and eat it if you're hungry. That's how Paul felt about it. It said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or new moon or a Sabbath days. They had issues in this church, and Paul was trying to tell them, y'all are supposed to be knit together in love. You ain't supposed to be arguing and fussing about this and that, and you think you know a scripture, you think you know one, you holding on to this, and all of y'all so divided, you're missing the main point. He said your love's supposed to be greater than your knowledge. And so he said, now wait a minute, don't let nobody judge you in respect to a holy day, because see, the Jews had a lot of holy days, And some of them under the old covenant, they was instructed to keep. Okay, but what they didn't realize is all those holy days, all those offerings, all everything was pointing to the sum total of one person, Jesus Christ. Now that he's here, why you need to keep doing a bunch of rituals? Yeah. So my point right here is, don't let nobody judge you. Now, here's what I told his sister. I said, sister, you can stay worshiping on Saturday if you want to. But if you have an issue with me worshiping on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I said, then y'all got an issue. She said, you right. And she said, you know what? I go worship with him on Saturday, and I'm going Sundays too. Because she open-minded. But some of those folks, they're so, okay, you got to worship on Saturday. You wrong. No, that ain't what this Bible teaches. Now, that verse right there, tear that up. And I don't want to spend all night because I can go to other verses in Acts chapter 15 when they had that big meeting in Jerusalem. He said there was some people went out and telling the Gentile churches that you had to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders said, we said no such things. Go, he's telling you, it's in Acts chapter 15. And then he said, these are the only necessary things you guys ought to observe. And he was talking about fornication. He did mention meat there offered to idols. Paul was there and just agreed with him then, because the Bible said, agree with your adversary quickly. Paul was like, I ain't going to even argue with you on that. Let's do it, you know. But Paul had sense enough to know the meat is just meat, okay. But my point is, they left out the Sabbath day. They did not mention that the Gentile church had to keep a day, because that is... In the Ten Commandments, the day was Jesus. Okay, now look at Hebrews. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I want to make a little leeway tonight, but I'm just giving you the overview that here's what I'm saying. The Ten Commandments is all over the New Testament. I just quoted to you a few of them. It's all in all the letters in the New Testament. The only one that need biblical explanation, because it's in there too, is the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. But the Sabbath day is Jesus Christ himself. And you have to keep him every day. And when you enter him, you've entered the rest. Because the Sabbath day was about a rest, right? God worked 6 days and rested. God was just showing a type and a shadow of something that was coming. When people struggle trying to live for God, and then they get in Christ and rest. Stay right there and keep it holy. That's all that the Sabbath day was pointing to. That's all it was pointing to. So Jesus is the Sabbath. So we still keeping the Sabbath day. Every day. So all 10 of these commandments is still in your New Testament Bible. We've been reading them all the time. Okay. All right. Now Hebrews 4. Look at what it says. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest. Remember when the Sabbath day first came up? Do you know the Sabbath day, God talked about the Sabbath day before he gave the Ten Commandments? Before he wrote them down. Okay? And then the reason the Sabbath day came up was because, like I just said, God worked 6 days and rested the Sabbath day. And God said, I want everybody now to enter into my rest. Now, the rest in the New Testament that he was pointing to was his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath. And so this is what he talking about right here. He said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. I mean, when you get to struggling, you keep struggling, you ought to be, I'm not resting. The rest is Jesus Christ. Now, if you finish reading all of that in your spare time, and, you know, you can go study on the Sabbath all you want, but let me tell you what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is Jesus. That's what God was talking about. So, yes, in the New Testament, we still keep the Sabbath, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, now let me move on. And that's who you need to stay in daily and rest. Okay, so my point is all 10 commandments is still inserted in the New Testament. Can everybody see that? Anybody don't see it? Any questions or comments? Anybody got anything? Okay, now let me show you that God separated the Ten Commandments from the law. But he separated the Ten Commandments from what he called the law, and he gave both of them. But he gave both of them, and he called the law of the old Moses law. And he called the Ten Commandments God's commandments, God's laws. Two different things. Okay, now look at Exodus 24 and verse 4. It says, and Moses did what? Anybody got that yet? Okay. And Moses wrote what? Okay. So the Lord was the one gave him all the rituals, the ordinances, the offering, told him how to build the temple, the tabernacle. All of it came from God, right? But throughout the Bible, you're going to find that the Bible addresses the law as the law of Moses. He gave Moses to verse. But anyway, when you read the book of Exodus, you'll find that God let Moses write all the ordinances and all the laws. And God allowed Moses to write it. And he did it for a reason. Now, guess who wrote the Ten Commandments? Anybody know? God himself. Now, let me give you the two verses. I'm going to just give it to you, so let you go study it. Exodus 31 and verse 18 and Exodus 34 and verse 1. Moses, hewn the two tablets of stone, like unto the first. What do you mean by like unto the first? Because, see, he had two stones the first time, and God wrote them on those two stones. And when Moses went back down, he got so mad at the people, he was the first one to break them. He broke them. So God brought him back up, and he said, Moses, get two more stones. But I want you to notice, even when Moses came back the second time, God wrote them again. Now, that's a type and a shadow of what he was going to do in the New Testament. He gave the commandments. He wrote the commandments when? How many times? Twice. First time, Moses broke them. Moses went back, he wrote them again. He wrote them twice. He wrote them in the old covenant, and in the new covenant, he wrote them on our heart. That's a type and a shadow. Everything in the Bible has to match. Types, shadows, allegories, everything. If you say you got a truth, and you said God has said this, it's supposed to match everything. You see what I'm saying? Now, how many covenants we have? Two. The old covenant and the new covenant. Okay, that's another type and a shadow. He gave them under the old covenant. He gave them under the new covenant. Okay, so let's go on. Now, this it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, hewn thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and I will write up on thee. I will write up on these tablets the words that were in the first tablets, break it. And God said, you broke them. But my point in this verse is, notice God said, I will write them. God himself wrote these commandments. And that's why these are called God's laws. Now, you go back to Revelation 14, and this should make a little more sense now. Revelation 14. Verse 12, and we study in the night now. That's why I'm laboring up here. All right. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the New Testament is the faith of Jesus Christ. We've been established in the faith. Inside of the faith, God inserted his commandments. And they all over the New Testament. Okay? Now, don't y'all want me to take you to all of them tonight, or can I just get you to trust me now? They end, okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, what it says, let him that stole steal no more. That's thou shalt not steal. Okay? So I'm trying to show you the Ten Commandments is inserted in the faith.
Well, praise the Lord. Our time is just about up for today, but I trust that you've enjoyed the Word of God, and I want to encourage you to search the Scriptures for yourself. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And when you search the Scriptures and rightly divide the Word of God, you will find out that the law of Moses is gone, but the laws of God, they are still intact in the hearts of believers in the New Testament. And we're supposed to be able to live out these laws with joy. The Bible said that if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, my commandments are not grievous. Any person that's born again should live out the word of God by their lives now. Amen. And you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is not legalism to do what's righteous in God's sight. If you're a new creature, you are able to do it. Glory to God. There should be no excuses. Amen. And there are no cracks. There's no crevices in the word of God. And we should be able to live the word of God to the T. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you are in the spirit and you truly born of the spirit, you can walk in the spirit and complete everything that God has said in his words. And to say you cannot do it, meaning you're walking in the flesh. The Bible said if we walk in the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. So believers, there's a lot of teaching in the body of Christ today, but this is the teaching of the scriptures. This is the teaching of the word of God. And God is raising his standard in this last hour. Glory to God. And saying, this is the church. This is the life. This is the narrow path. Now walk therein. The Bible said, let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can do the work and the will of God. In my closing, I want to send a loving challenge out to those in the clergy. I heard the father tell me as I was teaching this lesson that those of you that have taught the saints to break God's commandments, you owe God an apology and you owe God's people an apology, because guess what? What God wrote with his finger is still intact, because he wrote it upon the hearts and the minds of New Testament creatures. Glory to God. We are able now to walk in the commandments of God and yet not be under the old law. This is a joy. And again, I want to say to my brothers and sisters in the ministry, the Father said that if we have taught the people to break these least commandments, our name would be called least in the kingdom of God. Amen. So we owe God an apology, and we owe the people of God an apology as well. So let's get busy teaching the truth and living the truth. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. Want to encourage you to go to our website, www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. I want you to know we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.